This production is affiliated with SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.
Catholic Vitamins, Vitamin Z for Zesty, with Sonia Corbett, episode 170.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won. Look at how far we've come. Let's fully embrace the change that is taking place.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Hey, Dee. Oh, that sounds nice. Gosh, that sounds very inviting. Dee, what was I doing with you before we started recording our program?
Oh, don't do that to me.
No, no, come on. What were we doing?
We were eating.
No, no.
Well, we were.
All right. I mean, after that, I was sitting up here and I was going through the startup
of
GarageBand and beginning of the podcast. You know why I was doing that?
Why?
Because I recorded my homily at church this morning.
Mm-hmm.
You know already about the amount of feedback that I had from the homily.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if while I'm gone, I'll talk about where I'm going. While I'm gone, would you be able to put together a mini podcast and broadcast it?
I could try.
Yeah, that'll give you something to do while I'm gone. Except
I'll be cleaning house.
Really?
We're having company.
Who's coming?
Channing.
Oh, dear Channing Dale from your home state.
Yes, from Lancaster, Pennsylvania. She has the This Catholic Life podcast.
I love her podcast. And what did she post recently?
Is it This Catholic Life?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Your Catholic Life is what her sort of sub-theme is
okay.
That she does.
Okay.
What did she just announce?
That she's sick.
Oh, dear, dear.
Well, you would look at me. You look at me like I'm supposed to read your mind and know exactly what you're thinking.
Well,
she just announced that she is going to join the Discalced Carmelite.
That's an announcement, not that she's got a cold.
Well, she did announce just this morning that she's sick and she doesn't have a voice, and it's probably because she went to the March for Life in Washington, D.C.
Yes, yes. Channing, we told you to dress warmly, and you didn't do it.
I know. I saw a picture of her, and she looked pretty warm.
Did you see a picture of her? I don't know if I did. Did
I thought I showed it to you.
I'm not sure.
She was with Billy Newton and some other guys.
We're old enough to be her parents, so we could talk to her like that. Did you take your galoshes along with you? She probably wouldn't even know what galoshes are.
Oh, dear. She'll never come back and visit us again.
Well, that may be true for another reason.
Oh, she won't be able to come back and visit once she joins.
Once she joins, she's in the monastery, and she may be there for life, God willing. And his will be done. I'm very tender about Channing.
We're very, very, very happy for her.
Right. Well, there's sort of the beginning of vitamin P for prattle, not Z for zesty. I'm excited about our guest, Dee. You know that every once in a while I get sort of pumped up about a guest we're going to have. And I said to you, I could just tell from the research that I did and her reaction that this was something that was meant to be. And I've already shared the interview with you, and you said that you'd listen to it. She is really a good lady to have on our show for vitamin Z, for zesty. And she's going to bring us some zesty ideas in the year of faith.
I just today saw a picture of her.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
You know, during the interview, do you remember she talked about being a tomboy? I don't want to give away a whole bunch here in the front end. She talked a little bit about being a tomboy, but she dresses up pretty good, doesn't she?
She sure does.
She's lovely. And I hope we get to work with her and help her ministry. Dear, we participated in the Rally for Life down in downtown Phoenix.
That was on Tuesday.
About 13 or 14 people from our parish went to it. Only 10 of us found each other, I don't know where the other three or four.
Yes, three. There were three. They were there. They said they were. I think they were way up in the crowd in front of us but they couldn't find it. And they were trying to get you on your cell phone. And what happened?
Oh, my cell phone was hung up. I'm not really sure what was wrong with it, but I didn't get any rings at all. And when I reset the phone, I got four messages from this one lady who was trying to reach us.
I feel bad because afterwards we were going to try to get together and go out and have a bite to eat all together, all those that could. And they probably would have gone if we would have connected.
I'll tell you what, dear. I think I'm going to modify something that we had just talked about before we started recording. We were going to start off with Fergal O'Neill all the way from Naas, Ireland.
You did it.
I did too.
You did it.
From Naas, Ireland. He's our European correspondent number one. But since we mentioned the Rally for Life, how about if I open our program in the sense of opening up with a segment? I'll open with the opening prayer that Bishop Olmsted from Phoenix did.
Okay.
For the
yeah, that was good.
Rally for Life. So let us, with all due respect, bless ourselves in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the next voice you'll hear will be that of Bishop Olmsted from Phoenix.
Good afternoon, everyone. Let us pray. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. O God, merciful Father and creator of us all, from all eternity you have loved us. You formed each of us in our mother's womb. In you we live and move and find our hope. We call to you in faith today on the 40th anniversary of a day that shall live in infamy throughout future generations of America. A day that robbed the youngest and most vulnerable of our brothers and sisters of their right to life. A day of horrific injustice and national shame. O gracious and loving Father, look down with compassion today upon the vast multitude of infants not allowed to be born, and upon the millions of mothers who, like Rachel, mourn for their children because they are no more. O God, our Savior and our hope, teach us anew the dignity of each human life and the value of a faithful and fruitful marriage. You who exist from all eternity have called us at this time in history to be your sons and daughters and to be faithful citizens of our nation and of the state of Arizona. Give us unflagging desire to bear witness to the gospel of life and courage to fight for the right to life of every person from conception until natural death, and readiness to build, together with all people of goodwill, the civilization of truth and love. On this 22nd day of January in the year of our Lord 2013, we ask you, Almighty and merciful God, to grant light and fortitude to all who serve in public office. Give them gifts of wisdom and compassion so that they may fulfill their duties with integrity and thereby serve the needs of all, especially the poorest and most vulnerable among us. At this moment in American history, inspire us to be good citizens of our country and faithful servants of life. I make this prayer through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Well, let's open our regular correspondence file with Fergal O'Neill from Naas, Ireland.
Recently, I had the pleasure to meet with two young people who are heavily involved in the work of evangelization. They were both in their late 20s, both single, and pursuing a secular career. What struck me most about them was the joyous attitude they brought to every story and interaction, and indeed, it was a bit of an eye-opener for me, who on the most part spends time worrying and fretting about the future of the church and the future of young people's involvement in the church. I have to say, I left the host's house far more upbeat and positive because of that meeting than I had been in a good while. I left uplifted and spirited because of my interaction with these two young people who were zesty for their faith and at the same time zesty for life in all its forms. I remember thinking to myself, it's no wonder that John Paul II had so much time and respect for the young people. Indeed, as I was driving home that night, I heard him remark somewhere in my memory, those who stay close to the youth become young themselves. And John Paul's life certainly was a witness to that fact. What I tend to forget is the great multitude of young evangelizers who are working silently behind the scenes. Here in Ireland, for example, we have two groups that in particular I think I need to mention. Youth 2000 and Net Ministries. I have had the pleasure of meeting some of their members over the past months, and I have to say their joy and enthusiasm is shocking. Shocking in the sense that it jolts me out of the pessimism that from time to time enters my own heart, and they can calm my fears. These wonderful witnesses, along with the thousands of others who are marching for life this weekend in the States, and those who have marched for life in Ireland over recent weeks, give great gravitas to the saying that is attributed to St. Francis, preach, and if really necessary, use words. We need to remember that much witness is being given to the gospel in every corner of the world, and ask ourselves if our little life patch is one that has been claimed for Christ. You see, the church exists to evangelize, short and simple. We will not do it by giving into useless worry, anxiety, or fear. After all, we are an Easter people, and Alleluia is our song, and it should be in constant refrain everywhere one finds Christians. We are alive in He who is risen, in He who has conquered, and in He who is to come. Indeed, the world is getting stormier, and many whirlwinds are circling at the present time. Confusion is rife, and indifference is the new cool. For those who are serious about their faith, however, there is no better time to teach and evangelize, no better time to be rock solid in your faith, and no better time to be focused on the central truth that Christ died for all and we now live for Him. As the zest of a citrus fruit sharpens everything it has it to, let us with renewed vigor stand up and be counted and make Christ and His church present wherever we find ourselves. Let us, with a sincere conviction, stand firm in faith, remembering that our vocation will enthrall some, it will anger many, but with God's grace, it should leave nobody indifferent.
They say it's a miracle she's alive, though the doctors say she'll never walk again. But she says she started living the day her life nearly came to an end. Every day brings another miracle her way. She'll tell you it's God's hand of providence. Though some would call her lucky, just a one in a million chance. Most would have given up a long time ago. But the stone failed to unearth the seed deep in her soul. That's blooming.
Well, dear, we just do not pay our correspondents enough. Fergal nailed Vitamin Z, Catholic Vitamin Z, for Zesty with his reflection there. Thank you, all the way from Ireland. The music you're listening to is from a delightful singer, Teresa Smith, and she was a guest a while back on Catholic Vitamins. That's from her album, Blooming. It's the title song, Blooming. I hope we have a blooming relationship with our guest, Sonia Corbett. Up next.
About to find a garden.
Well, I just cannot tell the listeners of Catholic Vitamins how excited I've been for this interview. Time spent with a lady who is just intriguing in getting to know her a little bit on the internet. And we've picked a vitamin Z for today, Zesty. And somebody has already taken a guess at that, one of our listeners, and they said they're really intrigued. We're on the phone today with Sonia Corbett. She's back east. She has a delightful accent. I was going to offer to do a healing prayer to see if we could cure her of that, but it's so wonderful. Sonia, welcome to our show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, I must admit that when I was doing research for this idea and when I found your name, it was new to me. So let's assume that there are people out through the world of the internet, and truly, I mean around the world, but at least in the United States, there may be people that haven't heard of Sonia Corbett. Tell us about you as a young person and your growing up years.
Oh, wow. Well, I will have to say that I don't remember those. Well, I remember those days with a mixture, I guess, of happiness and sadness. I was kind of a troubled child because of the way I was reared. But we lived out in the country. We had a farm and lots of space to run. And so I was able to kind of get away from some of the stresses in our household by being outdoors. So I grew up in North Carolina, the daughter of a career highway patrolman and Army soldier, and whom I love very much, but it took a long time to kind of work through some of those experiences as a child. But I grew up in North Carolina. We moved quite a bit because my dad was in the service. And we settled, though, pretty much there. That was our home base. We kind of came and went several different times. And so I remember North Carolina with great love. I miss it, actually. We go back to the beach with my family every summer out there. So, but now I live in Tennessee. I moved here with my husband 20 years ago this year, and I love Tennessee. I love the mountains and the east just for the greenery. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. That's pretty much it. I mean, you know, I grew up like most kids do, especially country kids.
Okay. were you a little bit of a tomboy?
Very much. Very much a tomboy. But, you know, I like feminine things, and I am very feminine, but I do have that tomboy side. I spend a lot of time just outdoors, and I still enjoy that very much. I like to hike and camp, which is distasteful, I know, to some people, but and I can't tolerate it for extended amounts of time as I used to, but I still do really enjoy it.
Okay, so what was your early faith walk like?
My early faith walk was strange, actually. I think now looking back on it, I can see that God had drawn me for a long time and was really with me. And I felt him that way. I can remember writing poetry and things that were specific to feelings that I had about God. And we went to church. My mom took us to church a lot, and my dad actually even went too with us some, but he traveled so much and he was gone a lot. So we went pretty regularly. I was raised Baptist, and we went to Baptist churches when we went, and there were times that we went very regularly and very faithfully. But basically, I grew up with a fear of God, and that was a lot, I guess, because of my father, but also because of the Baptist faith that I was reared with. And so it was all very what we called then legalistic, where, you know, you keep all the rules, and if you don't keep the rules, then you pay. Mm-hmm. So I had sort of that idea of God. And so as I grew and I struggled so much with so many things interiorly and sins, specific sins, I had a fear of God and how he viewed me. And it wasn't until I married and had my own children that I really began to work through that.
Wonderful.
So I would say I always know now, looking back, that God has always drawn me, And I was always a very sensitive child, and I think that's probably how he did so. That was my ear to him later, but it took a long time for me to get comfortable with him.
Sonia, what were your teen years and a little bit later like?
Well, they were sharpened, I guess, as the scriptures say, in the same way that Jesus's were. In Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, it says that Jesus learned obedience by what he suffered. And I would say that that was true of me as well, because the root of that learned word is actually to hear. And so God learned to hear, Jesus learned to hear God the Father through what he suffered. And that's exactly how I came to hear God speak to me. I saw myself perpetuating the same behaviors with my oldest son that my father perpetuated on me, and it terrified me. I just did not want to do that. I didn't want to be that way. I was also very conflicted in my marriage, and so I just was very tired of the constant conflict and inner turmoil and upheaval, spiritually and emotionally and in every way, really. But the biggest thing was my oldest child, and just desperate to love him with a real love. And so that is where I began to just be willing for God to tell me the truth about my own behaviors. Most of the negative behaviors and emotions came out of the root of rebellion, that my dad was so aggressive and so dominating. I was rebellious on the inside, although I was terrified to be rebellious on the outside. So I kind of took that into every relationship with me, and I did not want to do that to my son. I didn't want him to feel controlled that way. So I was willing for God to tell me the truth, you know, about my relationship with my dad, my own behaviors, my thoughts and views of things, and how distorted they were. And so I did. It hurt, you know, and it does. When God begins to really reveal yourself to you, it's very painful, but it was a good kind of pain. It was a cathartic kind of pain. And he held my hand and continued to work with me all the way through that process. So okay. I would say that I learned to hear God through those things.
All right. And I really think we need to come back to that, but let's do a couple other things. You've already talked about being married, just finished the thumbnail of your family situation.
Okay. I am married to a man that I would call, and he would too, actually, because I think Joseph actually told him that, sort of selected him and claimed him for himself. But I would say that I was married to a true Joseph, and he is. He is very sacrificial and loyal, and he was really, at first, he really provoked a lot of my interior difficulties, as marriage is intended to do, I believe. But he was also a really safe place for me to kind of work all that out. And so we've been married for 20 years, very happily married, I have to say. And we have two children. My oldest is 14 now, and my youngest is 6, and we homeschool both of them. And that is my absolute pleasure and joy in life, as is true with many parents, but my children are my pleasure and my family. And so they're my home base and my safe place, and they're just a gift. I know that they're also my path to sanctity, but they are also such a gift. So very, very blessed.
Your path to sanctity. I love it. Now, maybe sort of branching backwards a little bit, did you experience any faith loss or restoration in this period of beginning to find yourself?
Faith loss? No, I would say that it was a constant progression toward faith. I didn't really know what faith was. I thought faith was just belief or assent to an idea. Of course, I believed in God. I had been to church. You know, I believed that God was just. I believed in God, but I didn't have faith. I didn't trust him with all my hurts, my wounds, until he taught me to. And so I can't say that I actually fell away from faith. In fact, I would say that I feel like I kind of just continued to walk through these expansive doors that God opened in front of me with every step of obedience that I was willing to risk and sacrifice to take. And so the church was one of those. As a Baptist, I studied avidly, and I taught Bible studies that I would write, and I just was insatiable. And God just continued to teach me and give me things to read and to study. And I came to a point where our church that my husband and I were attending and very active in, it split, as Protestant churches do, and it did so more than once. And I just, after all of my study in the scriptures, I understood and knew that God had a better provision for his pastors than what I was seeing. And so it really sent me looking for the answer to the rebellion of Protestantism, to be perfectly honest. And it was through my own rebellion and how God had been teaching me about that led me to the acceptance of the fact that the whole Protestant thing was a total rebellion. And so once I came to that point, well, I can't say that I lost faith at all, but it was very, very difficult to make the leap from all that I had known and grown up with to the Catholic Church. And in fact, I was kind of militant for a long time, just trying to get my head around it. You know, why didn't God just give me this to begin with? You know, why drag me through this whole circular kind of thing? But the church, aside from my family, the church is truly, well, I wouldn't even say aside, I would say even greater, a greater gift than my family, even my children and my husband. It's just, it is, wow. I mean, I just can't even imagine. I would ask God all the time, God, is there not a way I can be closer to you? You know, there's got to be a way I can be closer. And just, you know, odd little questions like that, that he answered with the church. He answered me with the church, the Eucharist. Yes, you can be closer. Receive me in the Eucharist. You know, and it just blows my mind now thinking about some of that. But so I would say that my faith walk has just been a progression into ever more expansive spaces where God has received me and taught me and loved me.
Our guest on this show is a wonderful lady. I'm just so blessed that the Lord would allow us to connect with each other. We're talking with Sonia Corbett. She might be considered a Southerner if you listen to her talk. And I've read that she provides potent Bible teaching. She has a vivid speaking style, and she leads gripping Bible studies, and you can hear some of that zesty talk coming from her as we find out about who she is. Sonia, before I go to the next question or the next area, I have a good friend, a dear friend that I'm getting to know better and better, a man who was an Assembly of God pastor for 20 years, and he came into the church. And he has a deep, deep love now for the Eucharist, and he comes to Mass as often as he can, daily, when he can. And we were out having a iron sharpens iron sort of meeting yesterday morning at breakfast, and he said that he went through a phase of ABC religion. And you know what ABC religion is? It's anything but Catholic.
That's funny.
And it sounds...
Well, I can say that that was my attitude, but I didn't actually do that. That was exactly my prayer, though. I said, Lord, surely you can't be asking me to be Catholic. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just that difficult. I didn't go anyplace else. I was still Baptist until my conversion or my full communion, but I definitely felt that way.
What was it like when you were received into the church and your first Eucharist?
Oh, it was like being married and it was like getting married, but with your eyes totally open. Cause you know, when you get married as, you know, kids, 20, 25, whatever, you make that covenant with another human being, and you intend to keep it, but you really have no idea what that's going to involve. I mean, you think you do, but you just really don't. And I would say receiving the Eucharist for the first time was somewhat like that, but different in the sense that because I had read so much and I had longed so much and I had desired it so much at the point that I finally was received into the church, it was as though I were marrying with all of the knowledge, or at least some sense of the knowledge, the deep, deep knowledge of the one who was marrying me. And one of my favorite verses is in Song of Solomon, where it says, "I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine." And that's exactly how I felt. Mm-hmm. I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine from this day forward.
Even though the show is about your help in us adding zest to our faith walk, what about your husband? Did he become Catholic?
Ah, that's interesting. No. In fact, I teach RCIA. I teach classes all over this area and also itinerantly, but I teach our RCIA classes in our parish, and my husband, I roped him into the class because it was very difficult. It was a very difficult time when I came into full communion. In fact, I hid it for so long, nobody knew that I was researching any of it. Even him. I mean, he just, all he knew is that I always read. So he had no idea what I was reading. But when I came into the church, when he realized that that's what I was going to do, and when I told him that that's what I was going to do, it just, gosh, for I'd say about 2 years, it was a really, really, really difficult time for both of us. And so it's been long in coming for him. Because we homeschool, my oldest son, who had, as we say in Protestantism, been saved, but had not yet been baptized, we always say our morning prayers, and we still do in the mornings before we begin school. And he just looked at me over the breakfast table. He had been praying his rosary, and he said, "Mom, God just told me something," you know, and I'm always on the lookout for that. So I said, "Really, you know, well, what was it he said?" Because, you know, you want to discern too. And so he said, "God told me I needed to be baptized." Mm-hmm. And I said, "Wow, Luke," because that's exactly something God would say that you needed to do. And he was only 9 and he was terrified of it. So that's why he hadn't done it yet. He was afraid to be baptized. But that was it, you know, and he was ready then because God, you know, his word is powerful and whatever he says is accomplished. And so he was ready to do it. And I said, "Well, I think you're going to have to tell your dad that you want to be, you know, baptized. And do you want to be baptized in the Baptist church or the Catholic church?" And he said, "I want Father to do it." And so I said, "Well, you're going to have to tell your father." And he did. And his dad came, and I was pregnant with my second son. And so we just did a twofer and had them both baptized.
Wow. What a story. Sonia, yeah. I think I should have booked you for 2 hours is what I really think.
Well, maybe not. I meant to say, though, the point in saying that was that my husband is coming in this year. He'll be coming into the church this year, finally, after all of those 7 years now. But he's coming in. I roped him in by asking him to film a Bible study that I had written for RCIA. And so he came that first time. And I kind of probably didn't tell the whole truth about why, but he came, and that really began things for him. So,
praise God. So praise God.
Yes. Amen.
Tell him that Deacon Tom will be in prayer for him as well as for our new acquaintance, Sonia Corbett, and family. Well, listen, we have some ground to cover. Our vitamin, our Catholic vitamin, our faith vitamin is zesty. We had already used zest once before. And I asked you in some setup work that we did, email, if you had any ideas about, in this year of faith, what could people do to add zest to their faith walk?
Wow. Well, and I knew immediately as soon as you said that, because it would be, I would say that it would be the two things that God has spent my entire life teaching me. One is to obey, and two is to be in the scriptures on a daily basis. And so that word obey for me was a scary word because it always implied control and aggression and punishment. Because if I didn't obey, obviously I was going to be punished. And so every bad thing, every negative thing, every painful thing that happened to me, I saw as a punishment for God, from God, for something, who knows what it could have been, but something that I had done wrong. And so that was really the characteristic of my whole early life, is trying to find out why God was mad at me all the time. Because, mm-hmm. you know, life is painful. And so it took a long time for him to finally get it through to me that that's just the way it is. And sometimes, you know, suffering is a matter of sin, but sometimes it's just life and original sin and concupiscence and all of those things. And so he taught me to just trust him little step by little step until I was able to trust him in the bigger things, things that took a lot more time to resolve and a lot more emotion or a lot more difficulty to resolve. And as I did that, I realized that everything that he ever asked me to do was not for his good. It was for my good and the good of those around me. Sometimes through me, because in my pain, I acted out in ways that were destructive to other people. And so he was teaching me to obey him. And I can say that it sounds, I guess, horrible the way I just put it. But what I learned is there is no thrill on the face of the earth like following God, because he will tell you to do something and you'll think that you're doing it for one reason. And then when it all pans out and shakes out and all the time has passed, you'll look back and realize all these incredible things that he's done, first of all, to make you obedient, but then to bless you through it. And so you're just constantly shocked at how good he is and how much he loves you and how much he wants to bless you. Even in the midst of circumstances that are difficult. I mean, and especially then, actually. So obedience would be number one. But the second thing would be Lectio Divina and Bible study, because it was through that God taught me, wow, everything. Everything that I learned came from God through the scriptures. That was really the only discipline that I had as a non-Catholic, because we didn't have the scriptures. I mean, not the scriptures, but the sacraments. We didn't have the Eucharist. We didn't have confession. I didn't have any of that to help me. And all I had was the Bible. And so I clung to that, and I was obedient in reading it and obeying it out of fear to begin with. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But then later, perfect love, it says, casts out all your fear. And that's exactly what I experienced as I continued to love God, and he taught me how, and he gave his love to me. I was able to be more obedient, and the more I studied the scriptures and listened to him through those, the more my life took on this radiant thrill of a quality, and it's still that way. I mean, I'm always amazed at what's around the next corner. In fact, I'm always asking, what next? What are you doing next, God? You know, I mean, he's just, I don't know how anybody can really have zest without him.
I love it. I love it. I've read that Sonia Corbett fosters intimacy with God, biblical literacy, and serious Christianity. And it is coming out today in our time with her. What a blessing. What a great joy. I wrote down obedience. I know that I'm tempted to eat the apple every day, no matter what the subject matter is. So obedience is definitely something I need to work on. And then just since you mentioned Lectio Divina, a few of our listeners may have heard in earlier shows that at the beginning of the Year of Faith, shortly after, we started an in-home Lectio Divina Bible study, and we open the home up to anybody that wants to come. We're doing it once a week, and we read the readings for the upcoming Sunday Mass. And it's been such a joy for us to to gnaw on God's word. I know that's a word that you might not use, but to...
No, that's an excellent word, because the Catechism tells us that it's part of the one table. The Scriptures are part of the one table of God, and so the Eucharist is the other, and we actually eat the Eucharist. So that's a great word.
Mm. I had written down, I didn't want to interrupt your last beautiful share. What's your husband's first name? I want to keep him on my prayer list.
His name is Bob. Thank you very much.
Sure, sure. In the time that we have left, I'm going to hate saying goodbye to you when this is done. In the time we have left, tell us about your ministry and what you're doing.
Oh, wow. Well, that would be part of the thrill, I guess, and why it's more my privilege to be with you than it is for the opposite. I teach the Scriptures. I teach what God has taught me. I write Bible studies, and I write Bible studies that are, I try to keep them between 8 and 12 weeks at the max. A lot of Bible studies nowadays, well, not nowadays, but always, have always been expositional, and that just means that that we study them line by line and book by book, sometimes testament by testament. And that takes a long time, and it's more time sometimes than people can commit reasonably. And so I have found that not only is it difficult for people to invest that amount of time, because sometimes, you know, a whole book of the Bible, if you do it really, really do it justice, it can take 6 months, mm-hmm. 8 months, you know, a long time. But the other thing is a lot of times people don't really understand how it applies. And so what I do is I take a topic, say rest. And my Bible study, Dew of Heaven, is about rest. What is it exactly, and how do we receive that from God, and what does it look like? And so my ministry then is basically teaching how to study the Scriptures, what God says about contemporary issues and events and circumstances, what He says about our lives in the Scriptures, and how that book, that ancient book, actually, I guess many books, a library of books, can speak to us on a daily basis, and how it can draw us into a very intimate relationship with God. That's my whole ministry. I do that through writing studies and also teaching them in conferences and retreats and workshops and that kind of thing.
Well,
it's the joy of my life.
Sure. How far are you willing to go? And what I mean by that is, you know, if there's a Catholic Women's Conference here in Arizona. This one is already booked for March, but would you come to Arizona or California?
Oh, sure. I just got back from California. I've been to, actually, this is my first year out, which is why nobody's heard of me yet. But just this year, I've been to Aledo, Illinois. I went to San Antonio, Texas. I went to San Diego. It's been a crazy year in a good way. Like I said, you know, that thrill of following God and that zest, if you're just obedient, he throws the doors wide open. So I've been everywhere.
Wow. Contact information. How do people get in touch with you?
The best way is through my website. It is pursuingthesummit.com. And I gave it that name because, pursuing the summit, God portrays himself in the Scriptures as this great mountain, and the saints talk about that. My patron saint, St. John of the Cross, he wrote a book called The Ascent to Mount Carmel, and lots of saints talk about that, and that's how he kind of drew me, is with that imagery. And Hebrew, which the Old Testament is written in, is written in the Hebrew language. It's a picture language. And so we are constantly pursuing the summit where God, I mean, you know, he's everywhere all the time, but he's there at the summit of the mountain, and by grace and faith and obedience, we'll make it there one day. Praise God.
Well, I hope we don't have to wait until both of us are in eternity to get to give each other a hug and share stories. But
amen. You've been a great blessing.
Sonia, what a joy. And I just felt this from, you know, when you set out to do something, and the Lord puts on your heart, this is where I want you to go. That was the way I felt from the moment that I reached out to you. And I'm so glad for your joyous response that you were willing to do this. I know you're busy.
I felt the same way. It's kind of interesting because, you know as well as I, it was actually an accident, but I feel like it was a providential one, and I did so from the very beginning. So I'm glad you invited me, and I appreciate it very much.
Sonia, any books or any papers that you want to mention?
Wow. Other than the scriptures, as I said, I have a Bible study that's coming out hopefully either late this year or early next year. It's called Soul of the World, and it is about how the Old Testament tabernacle foreshadows the Catholic Church in all of her glory, the sacraments, the liturgy, the liturgical year and calendar, the priesthood, Mary, the Eucharist, everything. It's all there. And I cannot wait for that to come out where people are able to enjoy it locally with their own groups. So I'm excited about that. That'd probably be one of the only other things that I would say besides the scriptures, unless, you know, somebody had a specific need or desire.
Sure. Well, you've been a zesty person to spend time with today, and I'm going to extract a commitment here since we're talking to a lot of people at once. Will you promise to come back on the show when your Bible study book comes out?
Absolutely. I'd love to.
All right. Our guest on Catholic Vitamins has been the delightful and inspiring Sonia Corbett. And her website is pursuingthesummit.com. We'll put some more information about her and her contact information on our blog page for this show. Sonia, I promise we'll keep you in prayer.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it very much. And I want everyone listening to know that I am praying for God's blessing on you and your life with Him and for zest in your faith walk.
Amen. Thank you, Sonia. Goodbye.
Absolutely. Bye-bye. Thank you, Deacon Tom.
Thank you, dear Sonia Corbett from pursuingthesummit.com. We just enjoyed our time with you so very much, and we hope our listeners did as well. Time well spent, that also includes Justin Stroh, our correspondent from the Upper Midwest.
Duke and Altum. Well, here we go, headlong into ordinary time. As I mentioned last week, it's so easy for us to think that ordinary time is ordinary. In fact, time is quite extraordinary. The angels wonder constantly as to what it really is. Because the angels see everything as now. Past, present, future is totally present to them. This is why when Satan fell, his fall was a complete and total fall. A fall that is present to him even now. And in eternity, the souls of the just and the souls of the damned see everything now. The great mystery of God, though, is even beyond all of this, because God is beyond space, time, and eternity. God is a completely total other. This is why we come before Him prostrated. We bow down, we put our face down before Him, not because we're worthless, but because everything that God is fulfills the total and complete desires of our heart. This is why we can rejoice in the Lord, for He is our strength, our actual strength. Think about it. The Creator of the entire universe is our strength. If we but submit to Him, His words are spirit and life. Life. See, everything exists because God has spoken it into existence. It is His deed and His word that are one. And in this way, His law is perfect, it's trustworthy, it's right, it's clear, it's pure, it's true. It is the rock of salvation. And salvation is by word and deed as one. This is why we can see in our Lord the answer to the dilemma of our conversations with one another about salvation. Salvation is a gift that takes a lifetime to receive, for our Lord makes up what is lacking in our body, so that every body might be brought together in one body. But our Lord is the only one who can actually do it. By His grace, by His gift, and by us receiving that grace in word and deed together, this is why it must be both faith and works. Faith and works receiving the grace of salvation. A gift, a complete gift. Jesus, the person who saves us. He says to us, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor, and we're the poor. And He has sent me to proclaim liberty." He Himself is that liberty. Liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind. The Lord shows an integral coming together of the body and of the soul, that He wants to heal us in the body and in the soul, to let the oppressed go free. He wants us to be free, and He wants us to be prosperous, and He wants us to use our prosperity to serve others, so that we all, together with Him, can proclaim a year, a time, an eternity, acceptable to the Lord, acceptable to the Lord. Now, I have chosen this verse to be the mission statement of my nutrition business because I see a direct connection between the health of the body and the health of the soul, or the health of the soul and the health of the body, whichever way you want it. Because ultimately what matters is that we are a composite. One affects the other. See, if you go back to the beginning, when Adam and Eve ate the fruit, it was the fruit was knowledge of good and evil. Knowledge, that which takes place in the soul, the mind, of good and evil, that which takes place or is expressed within the body. Yes, a deep connection. So what we put into the body really matters. And the way we treat our body is a way that we can say that we believe in the resurrection of our Lord. That the time acceptable to the Lord is now, is right now, to stop making excuses and start doing something healthy for our bodies. See, we can either make excuses or we can make health, but we can't make both.
Proclaim Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God.
Justin, thank you for this new evangelization podcast segment. I think that's number 62. Gosh, he's really been whipping them out. And dear, he was talking about his nutrition business. He helped us kick off the new year with some nutrition in our own lives, didn't he?
He did. We've shed a few pounds.
Yes, we have. Yes, we have. Well, we've got some feedback.
Go ahead.
Want to do feedback?
Yeah.
I received a lovely letter. This is from a man named Ed, and this came in through the ask@deacontomonline.com website. Deacon Tom, I've been stumbling around cyberspace researching the Holy Spirit's gift of tears and came across an article written by you several years ago.
This article just keeps getting feedback. Years later.
I was raised a Catholic, 4.5 years Sisters of St. Joseph, sounds nice, 3.5 years Dominican nuns, 4 years Marianist brothers and priests, followed by 27 years of military service, 18 years Marine Corps, Semper Fi.
Boy, was he kept in line.
9 years of Air Force. I wandered away from the church in the early 60s and returned to a very different church on Palm Sunday 2012. God be praised. I remember the agony of learning Mass responses and memorizing Panis Angelicus, the Bread of Angels, in Latin. Now I have to relearn everything in English. Itemizing 50 years of sins can be a daunting experience, but I selected a confessor from the Yellow Pages. Oh, my heavens. The first priest to answer his phone, God bless. He is a holy, wise, and gentle priest and made the experience far less intimidating than I had any right to expect. He also tipped me off to something in a neighboring town called Perpetual Adoration Chapel and suggested frequent visits. I was dubious, but I went and continued to do so. And every time you hear me say praise God, that's me interjecting. Just wonderful. On most visits and many masses, I shed tears. No sobbing, just gushing. Several months ago, my wife and I spent several weeks in Germany settling her brother's estate. The tears gushed beyond belief. The church was named for St. Stephen, the second time in my life to be in a church named for him. The first time, I was baptized in St. Stephen's Church in New York City in January of 1940. When I described the incident to my confessor, he said it sounded to him like I had received the Holy Spirit's gift of tears. Following my confessor's suggestion, I told God that if I truly had received this gift, I humbly accepted it and awaited direction on how to use it for His greater glory. And this is signed Ed. My column does not deserve such a beautiful share from you, Ed, but thank you so very much. And as I said to you in an email I sent to you, we just really are amazed at the amount of feedback that that column over at the Catholic Mom website has generated.
It's wonderful. We got one little piece of feedback. I just saw this comment from Don Barry up in Ontario, Canada, on Twitter. He said, one of my goals for this year is to read the Catechism cover to cover. And I think that's in response to us mentioning the Catechism that I'm getting in my inbox each week from Flocknote. And then we had another one from Marilyn in Woodbridge, Virginia. Hey, that's our old stopping grounds way back when.
When we were very, very young.
Newlyweds almost.
We had a Cracker Jack box.
That was our very first house.
It was so small, and so, but we were very
we
proud.
We thought it was big after a one-bedroom apartment.
Yeah, we sure did.
Anyhow, Marilyn wrote, hello, Deacon Tom and lovely Dee. Oh, thanks, Marilyn. I wanted to let you know I really enjoyed your yaw episode. That's vitamin Y. You gave me the opportunity to reflect on my own coming back home to my Catholic faith. One of the most beautiful parts of my reflection is how, similar to your guest, it was the invitation to attend Mass with a friend that helped my journey find the right path. Thank you again for such inspirational guests. I also wanted to tell you how much I really enjoy the missionary moments. Because of this segment, I've been including missionaries in my daily prayers. Thank you for this beautiful opportunity to enhance my prayer life. Did you hear that, Mariana?
Yeah.
And she also asked for prayers. This is a little after the fact now. She was asking for prayers for all the runners and walkers participating in the March for Life in Washington, D.C. I think that's about it.
Okay, all right. Go ahead.
Oh, she did ask about a guest that had spoke about a burial, a ministry for aborted babies, and she couldn't remember what the guest's name was or what episode it was in. And you know what? I can't either.
I can't find it. Yep.
I'll keep searching, Marilyn.
Well, thank you for your feedback. We had an Ask the Deacon question, but because we're running a little long, I think we'll save that until our next show. And speaking of Mariana, she has found some music once again by Steve Vining, the Chicago area musician. I hope we get to meet him someday. And she's going to use that to open up this week's missionary moment for Catholic Vitamin Z for Zesty.
Journalist Mariana Bartholomew with the Missionary Moment. Last week, I introduced a Texas church along remote Highway 16, whose name seems more suited to the coast than arid ranch lands, St. Peter the Fisherman. But parishioners say it's the perfect name since beloved Pope John Paul II chose it himself. That's only one unusual feature. When this mission was founded in the 1980s, Catholics packed chairs, drove miles, and met in each other's backyards, garages, and even the fire station in Primrose, where the average household income today is just $33,000. When Archbishop Patrick Flores first dreamed of a church in this area to serve a largely Hispanic population, he called the mission Project 16 because of its connection with the highway. A telephone call from the Archbishop to Rome led to Pope John Paul II's suggestion for a real name. When Archbishop Flores told Project 16 Catholics the Holy Father's suggestion, they shouted with joy. Every church has a unique founding, but in mission areas, stories are often heroic. For example, Archbishop Flores called a land developer asking him to sell property along the highway. The Methodist man refused, but then donated land, first 5 acres, then 10. Now the mission had property, but no building. A solution came when a church more than 25 miles away in Elmendorf planned to sell or burn down its old catechetical center. Neighboring churches and Project 16 Catholics chipped in funds and volunteered labor, moving the building to Von Ormy instead. It opened as a church in 1989. Property, a building, Catholics to worship, but where was the heart of the community, a pastor to keep sacramental lifeblood flowing? At first, visiting priests celebrated Sunday Mass, including one elderly missionary who refused to retire. For more than 30 years, Monsignor Henry Matsigemba traversed southern Texas, offering Masses in English, Polish, and Spanish. He fit right in at St. Peter the Fisherman, driving down from San Antonio to care for this new mission. He uplifted the people when tragedy struck. For 3 days, vandals used fire and water to deface church property. They burned a mobile home, taking with it church supplies, an organ, and furniture. The criminals turned a hose on in the church's little office and library, shattered windows, defaced statues, including one of Our Lady of Guadalupe. The damage put parishioners back where they had started, outside, using a car trunk as an altar. But parishioner Carlotta Cherna said, "This will not stop us. We will succeed. The Lord is before us, and we shall follow." Parishioners were so heartened when their first resident pastor was appointed. Some people might think Monsignor Charles Pugh was an unlikely missionary because of his lofty background. This native of San Antonio had studied in Rome at the North American College and at Gregorian University. He was ordained at the Vatican, but then he followed that wonderful tradition of talented priests serving the poor. By the time he came to St. Peter's the Fisherman, Monsignor Pugh suffered from diabetes. But this 60-year-old priest battled on, driving a 100-mile circuit with St. Peter's the mother parish of two missions in the towns of Bigfoot and Moore. By 1995, the 331 families of St. Peter's were overflowing their little barrack-style church. They had held fundraising fiestas and dances for a decade, but still couldn't afford to build a larger church. A nearby Air Force base closed, throwing people out of work. Sunday collections averaged just $500. Amazing helpers stepped forward. The archdioceses and dioceses of San Antonio, Miami, Dallas, and Galveston, Houston, plus Sisters of the Incarnate Word and the Catholic Church Extension Society, all sent funds. Illness forced Monsignor Pugh to retire before the new tan brick church was completed July of 1999. Laypeople, a resident deacon, and visiting priests kept momentum going until a new pastor could step in. The new priest, Father Miguel Arango Medina, from Colombia, is listed as pastor to this day. He celebrates 7 weekly masses, and every Thursday, grateful parishioners pray rosaries at their Our Lady of Guadalupe grotto. The Catholic vitamin theme for today is zesty. Highway 16 Catholics longed for a church or never would have gone through so much trouble to get one. When a resident pastor came, I bet they valued their priest more than many wealthy suburban Catholics who take priests for granted. Offering missionaries and their people prayers and aid draws reciprocal blessings. Remote Catholics feel cherished and encouraged, while others can be inspired by them to never lose zest for their faith.
Thank you, dear Mariana. Once again, we so much enjoy, appreciate, and pray for your participation on Catholic Vitamins.
I'm glad everybody else enjoys her as much as I do.
Mm-hmm.
You are going away from us this week.
I am. I've been working quite a few hours on a presentation for the people of the Church of St. Christopher's in Moreno Valley, California, which is not too far from Temecula, Riverside, that area. And I'll be going over there Wednesday evening to do a presentation in the parish hall, I guess, after Mass. And let's see, we have company coming, so you've got to stay.
Yeah, I can't go with you. I was going to go with you, but Channing is flying in that day.
Right.
And so you won't get to see her until the next day because you're going to stay overnight.
I will. On the drive back, it'll be 6 or 7 hours driving back, so.
But if it all works out, you're going to get to meet Deacon Joe Marino. He's a newly ordained deacon, barely new. And we've gotten to know him via the internet.
And isn't it Brenda, who has listened to Catholic Vitamins, mm-hmm. that was sort of the reason for us getting the invite to come over to the parish there? So we're so glad for that. We should be moving towards a wrap-up, but I know we've got a few things to do yet. Let's see.
We can do Vita Scrabble.
Okay. This is the tease for the next show. I'm doing that for new people, Dee. And we give you the first letter, the last letter, take a guess, and send us an email to Gmail, to CatholicVitamins@gmail.com. What do you got?
Well, the next Vita Scrabble will be starting the 7th round of the alphabet.
Can you believe that? We should do some fanfare.
7 rounds of the alphabet we've gone through since we started this podcast. Mm-hmm. So it'll be vitamin A, ends in N.
Like Norma?
Yes. And it's 6 letters long.
Okay. A-N. All right. Did we have a winner for Vita Scrabble for last time?
We did. I pulled it because we were starting to run long.
Okay.
Maryland in Woodbridge, Virginia.
Oh, well, how great. Thank you for that nice email that you sent.
And she wanted a bumper sticker, too, so I've got to make sure she gets one of those.
A Catholic Vitamins bumper sticker. I'm going to take some of those. And some Eucharist, the Real Presence of Christ bumper stickers over to Moreno Valley, and I hope that some people will take those.
And as always, if any of you listeners out there would like a Catholic Vitamins bumper sticker or a Eucharist bumper sticker, just send us an email at catholicvitamins@gmail.com. And what else do we have?
Vita Minute, if you're ready.
I am. This is from my Madonna House meditation calendar once again. We are the poor people of God, the little ones who know that without Him, we could do nothing. This awareness is the beginning of prayer. We must cleanse ourselves of arrogance and pride. We come as beggars before God, who alone can make us princes and princesses, kings and queens, not of earthly kingdoms, but of the kingdom of God.
Lovely thoughts. And if we go through that sort of rebirth, we'll come out with a zesty new faith. And I kind of loved what I gleaned from Fergal's thing about being around young people, Dee. You may know that I have from time to time been around young people and how much they renew my zest for the faith. Remember when we went to Colorado and helped in the Steubenville of the Rockies, how great it was to be around 1,500 or 1,700 young people.
That was it. We worked in the room where they had the Adoration Chapel set up and where they did confessions. And that Saturday night when we were seeing rows and rows and rows of teens lined up to go to confession.
It was 24, so awesome.
24 priests there.
Yeah, I know. It was beautiful.
To handle the crowd.
It was beautiful. All right. And then if D can get in to the captain's seat, maybe you'll be able to put my homily on the internet.
I could give it a try. I really need to give it a try, see if I can do it by myself.
I just thought of a negative. I hate to end on a negative. I'm taking this computer with me, and I don't know if you've got GarageBand and all that stuff on yours.
I think I do.
Okay. The rest of it,
maybe we can check it out real quick before you leave.
Yeah. Well, thank you, everyone. Thank you to Sonia Corbett. Dear Sonia, I hope we stay in touch. And thank you to Mariana, Fergal, and Justin for staying in touch with Catholic Vitamins and with our listeners. Thanks, everybody, for your feedback and your thoughts. And I'll try to hold this Ask the Deacon question for our next show, okay?
Okay.
Blessings.
Bye.
From A to Z, Catholic Vitamins. Don't enter the race without them. See you next time.
This is Deacon Tom. Blessings. Oh, Dee, I forgot to mention, and we need to get this on our sheet. We have a number of Lighthouse Catholic Media CDs given to us by our guest from our last week show. We want to thank Lighthouse Catholic Media and Claudia for bringing us some fine Catholic education and good speakers. If you'd like one of these, send an email to catholicvitamins@gmail.com, absolutely free, courtesy of Lighthouse Catholic Media. For example, one of them is Why I Am a Catholic, We have another one, the Mass Explained by Father Larry Richards, a great, challenging speaker, and many more. So drop us an email to catholicvitamins@gmail.com. Some of you know that we've had a relationship with Franciscan University, and they've given us permission to extract some of their speakers. I found a little bit of worship music from Steubenville. This is Worship with Steubenville, Volume 2. And let's go out with something that's kind of zesty. This Little Light of Mine. Prayer for the United States. God our Father, giver of life, we entrust the United States of America to your loving care. You are the rock on which this nation was founded. You alone are the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Reclaim this land for your glory and dwell among your people. Send your spirit to touch the hearts of our nation's leaders. Open their minds to the great worth of human life and the responsibilities that accompany human freedom.
Remind your people that true happiness is rooted in seeking and doing your will through the intercession of
Mary Immaculate, patroness of our land. Grant us the courage to reject the culture of death. Lead us into a new millennium of life. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
This is an old-time favorite, so we're kind of excited.